Hello and welcome to the Now Spinning Magazine podcast with me, Phil Aston. And on this episode, I'm absolutely delighted to have with me Doro, legendary rock metal vocalist who's been in the business for over 40 years. And you've just released a new album, Conquerors Forever Strong and Proud. And this new album, which I personally feel is one of your best, is, yes, it's heavy metal, but it's also wonderfully varied. It really touches on so many different emotions. So it's also got beautiful ballads, songs that would easily sit on any radio station, but equally all the trademarks you'd expect from, you know, your wonderful voice. So welcome. And how do you feel about the album yourself? How does it sit in your catalogue of music?
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. It makes me feel so happy. And yeah, and I love this album too. We worked on it 3 years and I feel really strong. Like there are 20 killer songs on it. And I don't know if you got the regular CD or yeah.
I've got 15 songs on mine, yeah.
The Digipack has 20, and I think they're all great. I think they're all cool. And yeah, there's some. Actually, at first, I want to do another double album, and then the record 10 songs is enough. I said, no, for my 40th, I want to, of course, you know, put on at least 15 songs, and then it became 20 songs. And yeah, and I love them all. And I'm, of course, really, really grateful and proud. Like, they are. 3 duets on it, but 2 duets are with Rob Halford.
Yes, yeah, indeed. That absolutely brilliant. I mean, the opening song, Children of the Dawn, is epic, isn't it? You know, with all the choir and the riffs and everything. It's a wonderful opening song. Was that a song that was written by the whole band, and did that take some time to get together?
I wrote it with my bass player.
Oh, yeah.
Raoul Volker, the choir, like the man's choir, that's all my bass player. And I think, you know, his voice is awesome. So, yeah, we did Turner of the Dawn together and I Will Prevail. And his name is Stefan. And we hit it off great. So we, you know, we were just like fiddling around and it was totally effortless coming out of like, I don't know. It was like, you know, it was not even hard work. Sometimes when you have to sit I have to write a song, man, nothing comes out. But sometimes, you know, it just when you click with somebody, when you have great chemistry. So that's one of my favorites too, Children of the Dawn. That's the reason why it's the opening track. And did you see the video yet?
Yes, it's fantastic. And the next one, Fire in the Sky, is another brilliant track. And then we move into your first, you know, double act with Rob Halford. What was that like, singing such a classic song?
Oh, man, it was so awesome. It was actually my very first tour in 1986 with Judas Priest.
Yeah.
And oh, man. And then we met last year at this festival, Hellfest in France. A great festival, by the way. Huge. And we were hanging out backstage, talking a little bit. And then Rob was asking me what I'm doing. I said, yeah, I'm just finishing up our new album. And I'm celebrating my 40th anniversary soon. And then we both looked at each other. And then I said, oh, Rob, do you think the same? He said, yes, you know, let's do something. I said, that would make me so happy. He said, do you have an idea? What would you like to do? And I said, right away, Living After Midnight. That would be great because I was a big fan of the British Steel album.
Yeah. By Judas.
And yeah, and then he said, okay, let's do it. And I was so happy. And I thought, wow, a duet with Rob Halford. Oh, how cool. And then he said, I want to do a song with you, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And I thought, wow, you know, that's like very, you know, very special song. And then we did like the metal version of Total Eclipse of the Heart. And that became a nice video as well, if you guys haven't seen it.
That is such a wonderful version of Total Eclipse of the Heart, isn't it? And must have been quite unusual for Rob Halford to do a song like that as well. So a wonderful chance for him to come together and do that kind of music, isn't it?
Yes, he loves that song. And when I heard his vocal takes, I thought, wow, man. He sings his heart out. And it was like, wow, it gave me chills. And Yeah, and then I did my parts, you know, I thought, man, I better step up to the plate because Rob is totally into it. And then it came out great. And it was actually a group effort. Everybody was, you know, like working on it, mixing, like Andy Sneap, the producer and guitar player of Judas Priest. He was recording Rob and he was mixing something. My guy, Andreas Brun is his name, he mixed it and we recorded stuff. And it was like, yeah, worldwide, we were like working on that song. And then, and I was so happy that it came out so cool.
Oh, it's wonderful. And your other collaboration is on Bond Unending, which is with Sammy Amara from the Broilers. And that's a very commercial song, isn't it? That could easily be a hit, literally.
Yeah, it's actually, it's a the Broilers, it's a big band in Germany. I think outside of Germany, not many people know of them, but they're big. They fill stadiums. And they invited me last year for two shows and to be a guest. It was like the Christmas shows last year. And I was doing, you know, two songs. And each night, it better and better. And then we said, hey, let's do something together. And it was great right from the start. And they're more like punk rock.
Yeah. Yeah,
we hit it off, and then we just met, and we wrote the song. Yeah, late at night, and we thought, "Oh, this is cool," and that came out great too. And yeah, it's different. I think it's it rocks, but in a different way. And I said, "Yeah, you know, it gives a little bit different color, you know, to the album." And there was actually a video as well where Sammy was singing. We were in the studio, you know, like. And Wacken is there as well in the video. I don't know if you've seen
it. Yes, I've seen it. Yeah, yeah. Because people call you like the queen of heavy metal and all these things. And heavy metal is the phrase that people obviously think of you, Dora. But like this song and like another couple of songs, which the one number track number 9, which I know is in German, but my wife who speaks German said it translates as solid as a rock. Is she right?
Right, that's right. Yeah.
So that one, which is the ballad with the strings, which is partly sung in German. Oh, wow. I mean, that shows that this different dynamic of your voice. So, yes, people think of Doro and heavy metal, but you can sing anything. I mean, it's just, and I love the way, I love the way that song segues into the next track. They're just joined, aren't they? They're just sequenced so well.
And the next track is Love Pains. Oh, I love that so much too. It's such a song. And yep. It has a message. I love that. And yeah, that's
It's one of my absolute favorites on the album. It really is. And of course, the other ballad is Best in Me. Which is a rock, that's one of my favorites as well.
Melody, nice lyrics, and yeah, that's written for the fans. Every song is written for the fans, but that one especially, Best in Me, because yeah, when I see the fans, they definitely can bring out the best in me. I can start 10 times louder, can jump 10 times higher. Something together, and that's the song for the fans. And I would love to play that live, maybe encore. Or something when everybody is already like, you know.
Yeah, that I'd put in my notes that I could imagine everyone waving a flag over their head. It's a scarf. It's literally that kind of track, isn't it? That could just go on and on with extended chorus and an extra solo. Yeah, it's just a wonderful song. It really, really is. There is another song that actually pips them all for me, and it is Heavenly Creatures.
It's a song, it's written for the animals. I'm a big animal lover. I love, like, you know, rescuing animals, and I'm always in contact with people who, you know, who take care of animals when they're in, you know, in bad situations. So Heavenly Creatures is for the animals. And I want to do something with the song, you know, give it to, an organization who is like, you know, some people who really, you know, do something with the song.
It's the arrangement. I love the instrumentation behind the chorus. It's really lovely. It's like, is it keyboards or string? But it's just different. When you write the music on the song like that, the arrangements, is that all of you? Is that you and your bass player? It's just wonderful that.
I go into many different studios and I work with many different people. And when I feel a song is like more like a like an epic song, then I work with different people. And usually I work like I have, you know, he's a great friend of mine. He's the ex-guitar player of Sisters of Mercy. His name is Andreas.
Yeah.
I think since 1996. So if I have something, for example, Fels in der Brandung, when I have this idea, usually it comes out at night. And usually lyric and melody is there, right, you know. And then when I feel, this could be something, then I sing it on my cell phone and then I send it to Andreas usually. And when he feels the same, when he feels, oh, man, something, then we work up from there. He's in Hamburg. This album was recorded in Miami, Hamburg, New York, New Jersey, in England. So all over the world, and every song gets the treatment it deserves. And usually I like strings. Sometimes we use keyboards. It depends, but yeah, but whatever the song calls for, that's our mission, you know, to treat the song right. And you can feel it in your heart. You can feel what the song needs. And sometimes it can be painful, you know, when you have a song which you think is great and then it's not out, you know, the mix, or sometimes you have to do a different arrangement. So that's the reason why I always take like 3 years to make a record. It's like, you know, it takes a long time to really take care of each every nuance. And but every song is made in a different way. And usually Andreas, he's the guy I like to work with. But with my band, that's great too. You know, sometimes like, Turn of the Dawn and I Will Prevail, did it with my bass player. Fire in the Sky, I did it with my guitar player, this is his name, and Heavenly Creatures, I did it with my old producer. He produced our Warlock album Hellbound and Through a Steel, and we are still, you know, in contact, and we did
this. That was my first ever album by you, which I found in my cassette. Obviously I've got it on CD and vinyl, but that was the first one I ever bought at the time.
Awesome. Oh. You know, younger people, they don't even know the first records, like, you know, they don't even know Burning the Witches or Hellbound or True Steel. And usually people know Triumph and Agony. That album was really big, but beginning, it's
because I said at the start that the new album goes through all the different emotions you can imagine, and one of the songs that you've mentioned a couple of times is I Will Prevail. Now, this is a really like badass song with lots. It made me feel as if it's one of those songs that makes you stand up for yourself and, you know, not get pushed around. What was the kind of inspiration behind that song?
Exactly what you just said. Like that you, of course, when I write songs, I always write the song for the people, for the fans. But, you know, when I feel, when I sing I Will Prevail, I think it translates. Everybody feels the same to me, you know, strong and proud. And especially in this day and age where everything is so, you know, chaotic, where the world is, you know, like really not in good shape. So I thought, you know, you have to give people power, strength, you know, and hope, and, you know, and the feeling we are all in it together. So we, you know, we will survive that, you know. Yeah, it's really dark. So I played on this album. I want to give power and good vibes, and that's the reason why the subtitle is like Conquerors Forever Strong and Proud, that everybody would feel, you know, strong and proud, you know, and, you know.
But going back to the early days, like Hellbound and the album before that, Burning the Witches, when I talk to lots of, obviously, other bands and male singers, they always talk about who they're influenced by. And lots of female vocalists sort of say they're influenced by yourself. But when you were coming out, when you were really young and who were you? There was no reference point. There was nobody like you before you. I mean, what was the inspiration that made you think, I want to sing rock?
When I had my first band was actually in the booklet. It's like, that was my first band, was Snakebite. That one, you know, we just did what we felt. We didn't even know that it was heavy metal. And role models. And then later on, and it was actually in 1980. And then later on, you know, we went to see concerts. And my very first concert I've ever seen was Whitesnake. And it was so unbelievable. It was 1980.
Yeah.
My second Priest and support band was Accept. My third concert was Ronnie James Dio. And I had the great chance to work with everybody, and now working with Rob Halford. And so we got, like, you know, we just, yeah, it was learning by doing. And we had no idea that we were a metal band at first. So we had not really influences or role models. Later on, I thought, yeah, this band sounds cool. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm influenced a little bit by the new wave of British heavy metal, like Priest and Saxon and Maiden and Motorhead. Even though I know Lemmy always said, yeah, not a metal band, but to us they were a metal band. So it was actually, it was really cool to be a witness, you know, from the beginning when metal grew, when it became bigger and bigger. But I loved singers like Rob Ford, Ronnie James Dio, David Coverdale, Lemmy. And to me, that was cool. I never thought of, you know, that they were all male singers. That was cool too, actually. I always thought, man, I would love to have like the food, like, you know, and yeah. And in these days, there are many, many more great women and ladies, you know, like singing, playing instruments. I think for young, much, much more variety, and, you know, many people you can, you know, like choose as a role model. But it was okay too for me, all the men. That was good, and, you know, and I learned a lot. And then I had the great privilege to go on tour with everybody. First tour, Judas Priest. Second tour, Wasp in England. Third tour, Ronnie James Dio. And then Saxon, Motorhead, you know, Scorpions. In America, it was Megadeth. So I could learn from everybody. And I always, like, you know, they never said anything. They didn't say anything. Just like, when I was watching their show, when I was watching how they were doing it, you know, I think cool. And I remember Ronnie James Dio, he was always, you know, giving everybody a photo, an autograph, a hug, you know, even when it was raining, when it was cold, when it was snowing outside. And the tour manager always said, hey, Ronnie, you can do it. You might get a cold, you know, the tour is long. Ronnie said, no, everybody has to get an autograph. And then you know, when I saw that, I want to do exactly the same. You know, everybody is important. You do it to, you know.
Yeah. So that's where you picked up your ethos of looking after your fans and how close you feel to your fans?
Actually, yeah. I always love people. I always wanted to make people happy. But when I saw that, when Ronnie was really taking care of, you know, everybody, and I thought, yeah, you know, you have to, yeah, it's an honor to play for people. So you have to really, you know, give back, and, you know, and when there's time to go and see a show and, you know, drive whatever, you know, hours and hours, or standing in the snow, standing in the rain, you know, waiting to see you in concert. So, you know, then it's just right when you do exactly the same, when you show people that you appreciate them. That's, like, you know, that's important. So I definitely saw, you know, Ronnie was great.
You can tell from talking to you, you're still so excited and motivated about this music that you do. And you went through the 90s where rock music kind of went under the radar, before the internet, before social media. So a lot of people thought it had disappeared, but you managed to navigate your way through that and stay motivated, and you were ready when rock music resurfaced. I mean, what keeps your motivation going for the music that you make?
Easy to say, the fans. It's the people, you know, and every single one, that's sacred to me. And yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you have some moments on tour or when you talk to people, it inspires me so much. It motivates me so much. You know, I could go on 10 more years or 20 more years just, you know, like, getting all these great memories. And, you know, when people tell me, it means so much to me, that song or the show you did. And of course, I want to go on doing it for the rest of my life.
And do you have any 2024? Have you got any tours and gigs coming up?
Yeah, we have some festivals coming up. First festival is, I think, in Texas, the Hell's Heroes. And then all over the world, we play Masses of Rock and the Stone Dead Festival in England and all over the world. And we just have a new booking agency in America. So yeah, they will hopefully great festivals. And, you know, we definitely want to do a nice tour. And then and all over the world, like, yeah, every country. And so the booker is already, yes.
Is they're very busy and you're very busy. So do you have any kind of pre-show rituals? How do you prepare yourself mentally to do it? Or, mind you, it sounds like you're just in the zone all the time, but do you have to mentally prepare for going out on stage?
Usually I talk a little bit before the show. I talk to some diehard fans, and if I don't have a chance to talk to the fans before, then I always like I go out on stage before we start, and then I peek out, like, I take a look, you know, before the curtain opens, and then I see the diehard fans, and when everybody's excited, and you know, and when I can see like a sparkle in their eyes, then I feel like, yeah. And then we have like a ritual. We always give each other a hug, the whole band. We always hug each other, and usually I'm very nervous, I still have stage fright, and then when I feel, you know, the guitar player, you know, his heart is beating as fast as that makes me feel so good. So I know we're all in it together. And yeah, and usually having a heart is very important. Sometimes, you know, because of time reasons, sometimes I do some interviews, you know, and then I have to hop on. And I always feel I was not right. You know, we have to immediately, like, you know, like bond and, you know, and or even just like high five, you know, that's, you know, but it needs to be some contact, like the whole band, that's important. But if it's, you know, sometimes there are gigs, you had, you know, Johnny, our drummer, who's in the band now 30 years, Johnny D.
Wow. Yeah.
Or the guitar player has to, you know, check with the sound, or sometimes there's some problems, you know, some sound problems, or the wireless is not working, so... So sometimes, you know, there's no chance to give each other a hug, but then I do it while we are on stage. Everybody feels like we are a unit. And we want to make the people and give them our best show. Every show could be the last show, and I treat every show like it would be the first show, and I never hold back, even when a tour is very long, which sometimes after a tour I'm bruised from head to toe, like all, like, you know, black and dark, you know, blue spots, because, you know, it's like, yeah, other, you know, out of excitement. And on stage I never feel pain, but after the show, then, like, when you're in the tour bus, oh my god, it's like, yeah, that's another story, but it's always worth it, always.
Wow. So the album Conquerors Forever Strong and Proud is out on CD and on vinyl. I think it's one of the best of your career, and it's so varied. As I said at the start, it's got everything in it, so that's why it's heavy metal, but it's more than that. But all your music kind of is, in a way. And if you want to know more, everybody, you can go to doromusic.com. It's the best place to find out about your news, your dates, and merch and stuff.
Yes, yeah. And in the US, it's doro.us. Everywhere on the internet. And we are on all the socials, like Doro Metal Queen is Instagram, and Facebook is Doro. And everywhere. I never thought I would do socials, but now we do it every day. So we always try to, you know, come up with some nice things or live footage. And I got some old footage from the early 80s. That's like really like a treat for some diehard fans.
Fantastic.
So we always try to, you know, do something exciting. But of course, the most exciting thing is like, yeah, the live shows. Yeah, I hope the fans love the record. I love it so much. I love all the 20 songs. The 20 songs on the digipack. And one cover for Horsemen. The Metallica song.
Oh, really? Oh, right. I need to get that version, I think. But yeah, I love the sequencing of the album. Oh yes, that's definitely the one to get, everybody. I'll put the links in the description.
No, like sometimes in America there are different versions out, and there's the old book on it, like really nice, you know, like all that good stuff. You know? And there's a nice picture this out, like vinyl that looks so nice. So if people are vinyl collectors or love picture this, it looks really fabulous, I would say. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dara. Thank you for your time today, and take care and best of luck for the tour in the new year. And hopefully we'll catch up again then. But everybody, go and listen to that album and get a copy. Get on vinyl or media digipack, because it's absolutely wonderful. So take care and thank you for all of your time. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Huge thank you to my special guest, Doro. 40 years in the business, and the new album, Conquerors Forever, Strong and Proud, is one of the best of her career. It's got all the traits, all the heavy metal trademarks that you expect from Doro's music, but there are also some wonderful rock ballads on there, some fantastic performances, and some really, really powerful and beautiful music that takes you through all the emotions of the human condition. Absolutely superb. So make sure you go and get the album. It's available on vinyl. There's a digipack version. I think there's more tracks on there. And go to doramusic.com. Thank you for listening and thank you for watching. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe and ring that little bell. Check out the website at nowspinning.co.uk. The podcast is available everywhere you can find a podcast. We're also on social media. Remember, music is the healer and the doctor. So keep spinning those discs. Take care, everybody, and I shall see you very, very soon.